Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, let's see where we're up to over here. Page Kuf Yud Beis in the new printing. And the old printing, we're in the middle of a paragraph Kuf Lamed Gimel. The new printing, they broke it up differently. Kain im binaru secha. Page Kuf Lamed Gimel. What we spoke about last time, we were talking about how important it is to a person to start working at in a young age. A person at a young age can learn to speak different languages. You know, when you're older, you can't do it anymore. The fact that Goyim can't pronounce the ch is not because there's anything like in our DNA that allows us to ch. It's that they don't have ch in their language. So they never taught themselves at a young age how to speak and do ch. So therefore, when you're older, you can't learn it. It's too late. There's a saying that we mentioned last time, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Is that it's too late for that already. And then and a person has opportunities when he's young to be able to pick up on certain habits. And you pick up on a certain routine that you could do when you're younger, and it's extremely powerful. I have a book, which if any of you would like to borrow, it's called The Power of Habit. It's a relatively new book. It's all about how powerful habits are, and it's fascinating. All the different studies that he has over there of all different types of successful people, and success comes from a person's habit. Habit is a very powerful thing. It starts with a study that happened in 1993. There's a person who suffered tremendous brain damage and lost a lot of his brain cells and didn't remember anything. He didn't remember anything, but he remembered his habits. He had habits that he was able to, he knew, you know, what every morning he got up and he made himself a coffee. He knew certain things. He knew exactly if they moved anything, like he had his coffee was in a specific, in a closet. If they moved it, then he would not be able to find it. He just knew his habit. He was a guy that all his brain was able to do was his habit. And the point is that habits become so ingrained in a person that you don't even, it doesn't even need for a person to use his mind. It's part of his habit. I'll tell you an amazing story. My father, Zosayin Gesund, my father's a Talmud of someone by the name of Reb Soloveitchik. Reb Yosef Reb Soloveitchik was a very, very controversial person. He was a grandson of Reb Chaim Brisker. He was the Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva Yitzchak Elchanan, otherwise known as YU. He was an interesting fellow. He was a PhD. He went to... what's the name of that college again? Berlin University, together with the Lubavitcher Rebbe and other famous minds. Anyway, he was an interesting person. There was a lot of controversy around him. He was a rabbi doctor. Now, my father was present when it happened. He was giving a shiur. His big shiur was the Yahrzeit shiur for his father. His father was Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, the son of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. And he was giving Yahrzeit shiur, and in the middle of the shiur, he couldn't remember what he wanted to say. He lost himself. He started saying other things. Everyone was in shock. He was not an old man, and the room was packed with people, hundreds of people, and he just there was a meltdown. And that was the beginning of a very, very painful tkufa, period of time when he slowly, slowly, mentally started falling apart. That shiur, eventually he ended up getting back to himself, finished the shiur, and then, but after that it was ugly to the point that the family didn't allow people to speak to him. Soloveitchik was basically locked up in a room, and the only people allowed to go in were his closest family, very few Talmidim, because they felt it was like embarrassing. He wasn't talking coherently. There was one Talmud that very much wanted to go see Reb Soloveitchik. He told my father the story. And he pushed and he got in. He said that he asked Reb Soloveitchik a question about a Rambam. And he said, Reb Soloveitchik sat up and he gave like a 20-minute shiur about the Rambam, and then he slumped back into his bed. And his doctor, Dr. Alan Goldstein, said to my father, he said, I can guarantee you he had no clue what was going on. He didn't, it was all just a trigger in his mind that, you know, it's like habit for Soloveitchik. Like, you say Rambam, and he says Pshat. He didn't even know who was in the room. He didn't know what he was saying, nothing. You know, that was his mind. He wasn't, you know, at the end of his life, he was just mumbling Torah. He wasn't quoting, you know, he knew philosophy and all this other stuff. That was not at all, he didn't quote any of that after, he didn't even do any of that after, you know, in the end of his life. But whatever, the point is that Torah became a habit. It was like a lifestyle for him. It became like second nature. That's what it was. It was an instinct. And a person can create good instincts or you can create bad instincts. And that's what we're talking about. Kain im benaroi secha. So too is it in your youth. Shetaschil hisnag b'darkei chasidus. If you start young, and at a young age, you start acting and you familiar yourself with the darkei chasidus, the ways. When we say chasidus, we mean the ways of purity. Kol echad kefi shenoisav. Everyone according to his years. Aschutei moichecha. Your mind, right? The connections in your mind, we're talking about, like we mentioned from Soloveitchik, Belimcha, and your heart. Noise rayoinois, they carry thoughts. Uretzoinois, and your desires. Hachasidus ahava v'ayira, it'll become ingrained in you. This is what you got in your mother's milk. It was something that we got it from a young age. It becomes just the way you start thinking. It's the things you start thinking about. It's where your mind wanders to. V'kol chelke gufcha, and all different parts of your body, v'atzmoisecha, and your bones. Kasher yisgadlu v'yitoisvu, when they keep growing and they add, becharake kishrei v'rishme achasidus yitoisvu v'yibaru. Everything is built on a good foundation. Everything is built on a good yisoid. And everything is being built on top. Layers and layers are being put on top of that. So from now, what we're doing is we are establishing for ourselves at this young age a base on which everything we're going to do in the future is built. The pasuk in Tehillim, there's 15 kapitlach Tehillim, Shir Hamalos, which you find in the end of davening by Mincha on Shabbos. The Shir Hamalos, it's a very nice group, like a patch of Tehillim, very inspiring. Anyway, one of the psukim there says, Kechitzim biyad hagibor. Kain, Yumei Hanu'urim. Kechitzim biyad hagibor is like the arrows in the hands of a strong person. So too are the days of the young person. Kain, Bnei Hanu'urim, Yumei Hanu'urim. I have to look up the exact lashon in the pasuk. Can you put this pasuk? Sitter. Kechitzim biyad hagibor. You got it. So what is the pasuk saying? Maybe we mentioned this pasuk before. The pasuk is coming to say that what a person does at a young age, everything he does now is what is going to stay with him for many, many years to come. It's going to shoot with him in the future. Kechitzim biyad hagibor. Just like when a person holds an arrow in his hand and then he lets go of it. So all of that is, all of the strength of the arrow, the trajectory of the arrow, kein b'nei hanu'urim. That's the pasuk. Kechitzim biyad hagibor, kein b'nei hanu'urim. It all comes from what you do when you're younger. Ukemoisha lechol min behema, chaya, remes, v'tzipor, kol kanaf, just like every animal, just like every wild animal, every creature that crawls, every bird, niti asai, it has a certain netia, it has a certain it's a leaning or an instinct, v'teva ruchai, and its nature, la'atzmai, is unique. Everyone's got its own thing. Mipnei shemivne moichai, because the way its mind is built, chuta v'chol gavne evarov, and the way that its limbs have been structured, la'atzmai, everyone's unique. Heim v'shoina mitzuras min ha'acher, everyone is different. Every animal is different from the other animal, and they have certain instincts that they were taught, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them, that are unique and fit perfectly for them. There's a brilliant book called The Designer World, or The Amazing World. There's two different books. They're exceptional about how every animal, Kadosh Baruch Hu, gives it exactly its koichas and exactly what to do and its nature and how this the bee, the way that the bee can communicate with each other and the way they can get pollen and the way that the baby kangaroo is able to climb up into its mother's pouch. The whole book is, it's just amazing. It's phenomenal to read the Nefloi Saburi. Every animal's got its own thing, its own skill set. Kein gam moichacha. Also, your mind. Libicha, in your heart, v'chol avirecha asher b'chasidus yigdalu, all of your evarim, of your limbs, if they develop in the derech of chasidus, if you get yourself into a routine, into a habit of chasidus, l'tivam v'rucham tia chasidus, it'll become their nature, it'll become natural for you. L'hisnaig b'acheres, u'begasas yikshalehem, and to act differently, to have gasas like something like grub, like dirty or low. Yikshalahem. It'll be hard for them. It's like, that's not me. V'chol avodasam yoyser kiyatiyah. And their entire avoida is going to be cleaner. Yoyser amitis v'yoyser yashara. More real and more straight. What does it mean a yashar? We speak about this tzaddik, this chassid, this yashar. What does it mean a yashar? So the Vilna Gaon explains a yashar is someone that he's a straight person. He does it because that's what he understands. It's natural for him. That's a yashar. A tzaddik is someone who does it because he knows it's right. It might be hard, but he does it anyway. Yashar is a glatta person. He feels natural. It's yashar. It's a fascinating phenomenon that they have that you could see even pictures of lions that think that they're kittens. They think that they're cats. And you have these lions like cuddling up with these little cats, and they're not cats. I mean, they're like similar creatures, but they're much bigger, and they're like, you know, and they got bigger claws, and they're like, you know, lions are predators. Lions, you know, are the king of, and they're like these little teeny little cats, you know. But that can happen. There are times when they have ducks that think that they're chickens. You got a bunch of chickens, and there's one duck who's like, he's hanging around with all the chickens. Because from a little age, he hung around with the chickens. You could see this. They have tons of these different types of like bizarre things where you got like this animal that totally doesn't belong, and his hair hocking around with everyone else. And there's people who think that they're turkeys. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, his most famous story perhaps, was called the Turkey Prince. Let me tell you a story from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. There's a book called The Turkey Prince, I believe it's called. Rabbi Nachman's story is like this. There was once a prince. His father was the king. And one day the prince just went crazy. And he went under the table and he took off his clothing and he was pecking at people's feet and he was just, you know, cock-a-doodle-doo all day. No one could talk to him. No one could get him out from under the table. He was like under the table, no clothing, just pecking at people's feet. And the king was like, he tried bringing psychologists, he tried bringing psychiatrists, he tried bringing doctors, he tried figuring what's wrong with my kid. He can't figure out what's wrong with my kid. So one person says, I'm going to take care of your kid, but you have to trust me on this one. Trust me. Okay. So he says, no problem. Anyway, the kid's on the table. All of a sudden, he sees this, you know, professional under the table, not wearing any clothes, pecking at people's feet and like making like he's a chicken or a turkey. So he's like, and the two of them under the table together. So then he says to one of them, what are you doing here? He says, I'm a turkey. What are you doing? I'm a turkey also. Oh, let's be turkeys together. It's always great to have company. The two of them are turkeying around under the table. So then this chacham says to the turkey, he says, you know what? We could be turkeys and still eat food. We don't have to be turkeys and just pick at people's legs. Let's eat real food. We could still be turkeys and eat food. So there they are, under the table, turkeys, no clothing, you know, and still cock-a-doodle-doo and eating food. You know, because he signaled to get your food, gets the food on the table. And then they're under the table for a little while, and then the chacham says to the kid, he says, you know what? We could be turkeys and wear clothing. Why can't we be turkeys and wear clothing? Let's be turkeys and wear clothing, shine. So then the turkeys under the table, wearing clothing, eating food, and cock-a-doodle-doo. And then after a while, the chacham says to him, you know what? We could be turkeys and we could talk. And then after a while, the kid says, maybe I'm not really a turkey. And he came out from under the table. There's people who don't realize who they are. They think that they could walk around naked and hang around with other naked people because I'm a turkey. We're all just a bunch of turkeys. That's all we are. And they don't b'chlal understand, but they're not a turkey. And there's animals that there's ducks that think that they're chickens, and there's lions that think that they're cats, and there's people that think that they're no one special, and they don't understand that they're a prince. And when you're a prince, you have to carry yourself like a prince. And it's process maybe that they should understand that. But that's what's happening. The person doesn't realize who he is. And the problem is that you could get yourself into a habit of thinking that you're a turkey, and you could stay a turkey. You know, this prince was lucky that he had that chochem that got him out from under the table. But there's a bunch of chickens that still think that they're ducks, and a bunch of ducks that still think they're chickens, and a bunch of lions that still think that they're cats. And they aren't able to access, because Baruch Hu gave them strengths. They have a lion is a much more ferocious and much more powerful animal than a cat. But they're timid and tame because they don't know that they're lions. They think they're cats. Lions are so much more powerful. But he doesn't know that. Because his whole life, he's just been thinking, I'm a cat, like all the other cats around over here. But if we create, at a young age, a person conditions himself and says, no, I'm gonna try to see myself as big, and trying to condition myself to be a lion, to be the king. So then it becomes natural. That's the real nature of who we are. Zachar no Talmud Chassid. Please remember, Talmud Chassid. Kama anashim gedoylim v'toivim. How many people are jealous of you? Ubeshacharuscha, and in your youth. Leymar, mi yitneni ata, nar ubachar, eskol hayoim lahashem, hikdashti umasarti. How I wish I would have the amount of time and opportunity that you guys have. So many people would love. You're all familiar with the saying that youth is wasted on the young. You've got energy, you've got time, you've got the entire world in front of you, and you have the opportunity to utilize it. Don't waste it. Bekama mehem mishtoikikim liois beguf naki ubenefesh kosefes lashem. You're still at a young age where you're impressionable. You could still create, make yourself someone that's nefesh kosefes. That a nefesh that is yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'bishnoiseyem kvar kosher lahem, at their age it's already difficult for them. They can't do it anymore. Va'ata oid hakol biyotcha, you've got the opportunity, you can still do this. Va'im ta'abed, margoylis zu, are you going to allow yourself to lose this precious jewel? V'toymar, kishe egdol ever. When I get older, that's when I'll do it. Kishe ezdakim. And when I turn old, asakein, that's when I'll fix it. Is that what you're going to do? You're going to lose the opportunity? But a person who speaks to people who are a little bit older will tell you how much easier it is, how much better it is at a young age. It's so much harder when a person is trying to erase memories of his youth where he messed up. And his whole life, he's got to fight those memories. And it's so hard for him. He just wants to have a normal Shemoneh Esrei, and all he's got is these crazy thoughts in his head, and like, when can I get these thoughts out of my brain? And a person who exposes himself to things that he's not supposed to see, to people dressed the way he's not supposed to see them. And then he goes and he marries a nice, wonderful Edel Beis Yaakov girl, because he's starked out. Baruch Hashem, I'm so happy for him. He's starked out. He marries a nice Edel Beis Yaakov girl, and it's like, and now he's having a hard time. Poor guy, the rest of his life. He will suffer the rest of his life, without exaggerating. Because, you know, sometimes we all know what like big, broad Hasidic women look like. We all, I mean, we shouldn't, but we do. We all know. You know, and sometimes you think, like how... like, someone obviously finds them attractive. And we're trying to understand, like, where, like, how does that work? Right? And there's women, they shave their heads and the whole deal. Like, how does that work? How do they... Someone finds them attractive. But the answer is, and this is the answer, if this is what you know, then this is beautiful. And you could, this could be your wife, and she could be the most beautiful woman in the world, because she's the only woman in the world. And she's beautiful. Is that good or bad? That your wife is the most beautiful woman in the world is such a blessing, because you're going to be stuck with her forever. The problem is, when you compare her to some of the other images that you've seen, you're in trouble. Especially if you stark out, which I bless all of you, stark out. And marry an edel, like nice, petite little Beis Yaakov girl. Now what are you going to do the rest of your life? You got these crazy images in your head. What are you going to do with that? You will suffer the rest of your life. I don't wish it on you, but it's hard. The bracha we say at Shavuot Brachos is Sameach Tesamach Reim Ahuvim, Sameichecha Yetzircha Began Eden Mikednen. I want the two of you Sameach Tesamach. Enjoy each other. Have a good time. Kesameichecha Yetzircha Began Eden. Like Adam and Chava enjoyed each other in Gan Eden. What does that mean? They actually fought in Gan Eden. I got to be honest with you. There was. So what does it mean Kesameichecha Yetzircha Began Eden? It means I heard from Yitzchak Kelman. There was Adam and Chava. That was it. There was Chava. There was a bunch of monkeys. There was like a few, ostriches. But there was no other woman. Chava was the most beautiful woman on the planet. She was the only woman on the planet. So we say, you know, you zone everyone else out, you will be happy. You have no one else. It's such an amazing life that your wife is the most beautiful woman in the world. But she's the only woman in the world. But if you think that your wife is going to be the most beautiful woman on the planet, so you're making a mistake. She's not. And if she is, I can tell you she's going to be very messed up. Because they come with all different types of baggage. That's the high maintenance, you know, issue that we don't want to deal with. She could be the most beautiful woman for you if you zone everything else out. But person exposes himself to other things. He forget about mitzvahs, averus, forget about all that stuff. He's putting himself at such danger for just destroying the simple pleasures of being married. The simple olam hazeh that we all would look forward to, like a happy marriage for many, many years to come. Destroyed it. And that's the opportunity you have at a young age. That's the opportunity is to create for yourself a habit of Kedusha, create for yourself a habit of discipline, to create for yourself where the norm is what I'm enjoying is something adava ruchni, or the other thing, the other way. And if you think that when I'm older, so that I'm gonna pull things together, you might pull together, but you will suffer. And I wish that everyone wouldn't. I wish that we would all not. But it's a metzias. A mishnah emeres haloimid yelid lamahu doime. The mishnah says someone who learns when he's young. What's it compared to? Lidyoi ksuva al niyach chadash. It's like ink that's written on fresh paper. V'haloimid zokon. But someone who learns when he's older. Lidyoi ksuva al niyach machuk. It's like he's trying to write over something that he erased already. It's sloppy. It's unclear. It's not the same. And once you've already written something else and you've got to erase all of that stuff, the paper will never be the same. Your learning will never be the same. Your davening will never be the same. And your marriage will never be the same. Whether you're just trying to learn pashut pshat, whether you're trying to learn something deeper with chasidus or tikkun hanefesh, ki harbi anashim yoidim mahi avoida v'tikkun hanefesh u'mishtoikekim aleha. So that people know what avoida Hashem is. They know they want to do tikkun hanefesh. They're yearning for it. V'gam koyfin es atzman lasas. They're forcing themselves to do it. Everything is forced. They're working against their nature. Because at a young age, they never took the time to discipline themselves. At a young age, to make it something that becomes part of my habits. The whole life, they're being poiseach al shnei sifim. The whole life, that means that they are being pulled in two different directions. They're being pulled to the Yetzer Hara. And they're trying, pulling back to the Yetzer Tov because they know that's what they're supposed to be doing. But from their young age, all that garbage they were doing is pulling them back to the Yetzer Hara, and they feel like they're just yo-yoing back and forth. Machriach ish kazes atzmai. La'avoida, a person forces himself to work. La'rega, la'chatzi shah, or l'shah, v'noifel achor l'chamay shahay, and then he keeps falling back. And he manages to pick himself up. But it's so much feels like this is not natural for me. Vishuv machriach atzmoy, vishuv noifel, vishuv machriach, and he forces himself and he falls down, and then he forces himself. His whole life is like an uphill climb. That's not the way it has to be. It's not the way it has to be. There's a point, if a person does this right, Torah starts becoming natural, smooth. Davening starts becoming something we look forward to. Learning becomes the greatest sublime pleasure you could possibly imagine in this world. But this person who never worked to make this his nature will never be able to get himself out of where he is. One step forward. Because the mivchar is the choicest koiches that he had. When he had all of his strength, v'esmeitav shnoisav, in the best years of his life, ala psichov al nafilu moitze, everything he was busy with the best years of his life in shmutz, in garbage. And if he doesn't, during that time, make that change, so he'll never get out of it. Now, Rabbi Yisai, it's not impossible. It's not impossible. The Gemara intentionally tells us about Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old. 40 year old, you're over and done with. Believe me, it's over. From here on in, it's basically cruise control. We're going to do our best, but 40 years old, you don't feel like you lost your, there's a certain like energy that you have. You hit 40 and it's like you just don't have it anymore. At 40 years old, Rabbi Akiva started. So it can happen. But the tremendous, tremendous Mesiris Nefesh of Rabbi Akiva is beyond every one of us. That I think we all agree to. Mesiris Nefesh of going 24 years without seeing his wife, without anything, without any food, without any clothing, without anything to sleep on, nothing. Just pure Mesiris Nefesh, mamish, giving up every single possible pleasure in this world just for Torah. That was when necessary for him to transform himself. And he did it. So we're at a much more impressionable age. We're at an age when we still have a lot of fire in our belly. We still have a lot of koyach. We're at the pinnacle, the height of our strength. If we can at this point manage to create for ourselves the right routine, to put ourselves in the right type of schedule, to make sure that we indoctrinate ourselves with the right habits, with the right ideals, the right priorities, it will stay with us forever. And the rest of your life will be easier, smoother, enjoyable. It's a challenge when we're young because we like instant gratification, and right now that's not going to be enjoyable. I'd much rather, you know, just go and be carefree. But that's the challenge that Kadosh Baruch Hu puts us in. That's the challenge that we face. Loi kein atem b'churei chemed. Im b'yalduschem taschilu. If you start when you're younger. U'b'na'areichem b'zeta avoidu. And in your youth, you start working. L'v'sarchem v'dimachem. Your flesh and your blood. Tia chasidus. It'll be inside of your blood. You'll bleed chasidus. Af im tiplu. And even if you have yerida, because we all have yeridas, lo tashuvu achar. You won't revert back to that, you know, you once were, because you've changed. Af im tafsiku lifamim. Even if you take a break, lo tishku babitza, you won't get stuck in the mud. Ves kol shenoy seichem lo tzitzaruchu levalos. And the rest of your life, you won't have to just, you know, walk in circles. Rak levi lipol, in order just not to fall down. Rak la'akimchem e'ofer v'tit, just to get yourself out of the dirt and the filth. Ikir avodaschem rak la'alos tia. Your whole avoida, the rest of your life, will be constant, steady avoida. For sure, with a small little mess up here, with a short, small little break over there, but it will be a constant climb. Gam nifiloschem, gam zmani katnuschem, even if you have moments when you're being childless, raki isha oile baharim, you'll just be like a person, a mountain climber, who's going up a mountain, v'doirech al b'moseh ha'oilem yiyah, and he's stepping on the heights, the plateaus. Gam hu lefamim, also he times, if he gets tired, afragul lefam yipotzan, sometimes he gets a little bit of a lesion in his foot, afgam ozlo yipo velo yered, but even then he doesn't fall to the bottom of the mountain. Noch, he rests, v'shuv oile, and then he keeps going up. Choy v'shu es ragloi, he just bandages his foot, v'shuv derech, and then he keeps going. So all of us, every once in a while, get injured. He's referring to spiritually. That's not what that happens, right? Everyone has sheva ipo tzadik v'kam. That happens, but if a person at a young age dedicates himself and he controls himself, he'll find that it won't pull him all the way back down. Tamid talu v'tamid godless bekir b'chem tegalu. You'll always be going up. You'll be revealing godless inside of you. Rabbi Yisai, this is your chance. It's an opportunity for your lifetime, your entire lifetime. And it's something that we have to recognize. And sometimes we don't necessarily see at our age, like, what's the big deal? Why is it so bad? Why is it like such... We don't understand. But it's something that will stay with you forever. Unless you take control, we're still at an age where we can change the very core of who we are, making ourselves good people, making ourselves erlich people, genuinely toif. And then, Be'ez Hashem, the rest of our life will constantly be aliyah. We should be constantly be going closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be'ez Hashem, B'li Nader, we'll continue.